Welcome to the Scrum.org Community Podcast, a podcast from the home of Scrum. In this podcast, we feature professional Scrum trainers and other Scrum practitioners sharing their stories and experiences to help learn from the experience of others. This episode is a previous recording of our live Ask a Professional Scrum Trainer series, where a live audience asks questions of professional Scrum trainers. We hope you enjoy this episode. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're located today. Welcome to today's Ask a Professional Scrum Trainer. I'm Lindsay Velasina with Scrum.org, and I'll be moderating our session today. We are super lucky to have Sam Adesoga here today, one of our professional Scrum trainers, to field all of your burning questions and help you out with some of the challenges that you're facing. So welcome. So who is Scrum.org? So in case you aren't familiar, we are the home of Scrum. We were founded by Ken Schwaber back in 2009, and our mission is to help people and teams solve complex problems. And we do that through our professional Scrum training. We have over 350 professional Scrum trainers globally, including Sam and some other amazing individuals. So we highly encourage you to connect with our community. We also have professional Scrum certifications as well as ongoing learning opportunities. We have a lot of free learning opportunities on our website and lots of free learning series and learning paths and things of that nature. So please check those out to help you continue your learning. And I hope today's session plays a role in that too. So with that, I'll hand it over to Sam to introduce himself, and then we'll get into questions soon.
All right, great. Hello, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be joining from. So I am Sam, and I'm the managing partner of Value Hut, an agile coaching, training, and consultancy. We're based out of London and Lagos in Nigeria. So I've been working with Scrum for about 16 years, taking on some roles. I started my career as a developer, software developer in test, done some test manager role, release manager's role, and I've been working as a Scrum Master and an organizational agility coach in the last, say, 10, 12 years. So I'm interested in helping individuals, teams, organizations to build the right mindset and culture that is required to succeed in the VUCA world, helping you guys build, you know, great products that your customers love. And I'm hoping that we have fun tonight. I put a fun fact in there, which is I do not believe that user acceptance testing as a phase has a place in agile software delivery. That's been a sticky conversation that I've had with a lot of organizations, and I thought I'd just put that in there. Well, yes, thank you very much, Lindsay.
All right. So now is the time for you to start entering your questions for Sam into the Q&A. So we'll give you a moment to start entering those, and then we'll start getting into some questions. So let me stop sharing my screen for those of you who are here on Zoom. One moment. Okay. All right. So see here. So Sam, so yes. Here's a question. So we have struggled with sprint goals as we cannot find a sprint goal that captures all of the tasks we plan to deliver in a sprint. What advice can you give us?
Right. So this is a very great question and something that I have heard a lot about, and I've seen this in action, where Scrum teams start with the items they've got in the backlog and they try to retrofit a sprint goal to cover those. And I think it's the approach that matters here. If you look at the sprint planning, the advice is the Scrum team should start with a why, with the help of the product owner. Why is this sprint valuable? Start by figuring out the why. What is the next piece of work or value you want to deliver to your customers? Start from there and then select items that you believe, developers believe, would deliver that goal. That way you don't struggle trying to retrofit your goal to match the items. You start with your goal and then select items from your backlog that you believe would help you deliver the goals. One more thing I would say on that is, in practice, you will have items in your backlog that might not contribute to the goal. But the purpose of that goal is that is the major focus for the sprints. And I hope that helps.
Okay, yeah. And there was a follow-up question that came in that was, is it okay to have items in a sprint that are not part of the sprint goal?
Yes.
So Sam just kind of answered that for you there, that you really, what's in the sprint should be what you're achieving in the sprint goal, but you will have items in your product backlog that will be addressed at another time, right, Sam?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And some examples of this, right? You could have defects from production, support issues, some maybe even helping your product owner to do some experiments, just not related to that particular sprint. But what I must say is this: the majority, it's advisable that the majority of your capacity for that sprint goes towards a sprint goal, and then you leave out a certain percentage, maybe 15, maybe 10%, maybe 30% of your capacity for everything else you've got to do.
Right.
The focus is getting the sprint goal delivered in that sprint.
Awesome. Thank you. Hope that helps. So this next question here. How do you get the role of a product owner in the process, getting the company to buy in? I'm not sure I
Okay.
fully understand the question.
Maybe that person can reword that question.
Yeah,
It's
Mark,
not
if you can
clear.
reword your question a little bit, to make it a little more clear, that would be great. All right. So another question here from Leo. How do you manage to include story points for QA in a sprint planning?
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Okay. How do you manage to include story points for QA in a sprint planning? So sometimes, maybe some background, sometimes for certain Scrum teams, you want to estimate the work that you want to do, you plan to deliver in the sprint, right? And what you're saying here is including story points for QA. My advice, which I've given to a lot of clients, is do not estimate story points for QA. You've got a PBI, product backlog items, and that should cover the work that you need to do for development, for testing, for deployment, for everything that you need to do. So, as a team, you should estimate for everything that you need to do for that particular PBI. Do not split your story point for QA separately, dev separately. That just leads to some unintended consequences, silos in your teams. And that'll be my answer to that.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. So, next question. Is it reasonable to ask a team to develop their product goals and related sprint goals at the start of the year, knowing that they can change as requirements change? This would force teams to think about the sprint goals before choosing the backlog.
Okay. Great question from Scott. So usually, product goals are defined upfront. The first one upfront. I like 3 months for product goal because it's short enough to get some focus for the Scrum team and the stakeholders. I've seen teams and organizations that like 6 months for their product goals. Okay, so that's okay. But what you cannot do is to create related sprint goals for the entire year, because you don't know. We're talking here about empiricism. Yeah. As the team starts working on the backlog, they're going to find new information. So typically, what the product owner will do is, we've got a product goal, maybe have a couple of objectives that they think might help them deliver that product goal. And they pick the first objective, which is most valuable. Make that into a sprint goal in collaboration with the Scrum team. And as that sprint proceeds and is being delivered, then they are more certain that they can start working on the other objectives. But what you don't want to do is to be so predictive that you've got a list of goals for the entire year. No, you don't want to do that. All right. So you start with maybe one or two sprints. We are quite certain about it. Then as the Scrum team delivers towards that sprint goal, the product owner in collaboration with the stakeholder and the entire Scrum team will start crafting the next objective, and that becomes your next sprint goal. I hope that helps.
Great, thank you. Yes, I hope that helps. And for any of these questions, if we don't fully answer it, you can feel free to ask follow-up questions. I noticed some people here on the Zoom are entering questions into the chat. If you could please move those over to the Q&A, that would be really helpful. That way we capture them all. So thank you for that. All right, Mark clarified his question. So do you have a suggestion on how to get the company and other departments to buy into having a product owner? Currently, the project manager and Scrum Master are acting as the product owner. Okay. And Mark is the Scrum Master in this scenario.
Right, okay. So I think this comes from understanding of what Scrum is all about. I have seen organizations use Scrum to deliver projects, but I think you get the best out of the Scrum framework when you have products, right? And in having a product, you need a product owner. That individual that holds the accountability for helping the Scrum team to maximize value delivered. So it's about educating. So if you're a Scrum Master, I think there's work for you to do to talk to your stakeholders, talk to the management of the organization in having products. Product owners is a one-to-one relationship. One product owner for one product, right? So it's about having product, then having someone to hold that PO accountability. And that's where I will start from.
Great, thank you. Right, I hope that helps. So Sue asks, is it workable to have multiple products within one Scrum team, or is it best to separate the products out? If separating them out, then this duplicates Scrum events the team has to attend.
Okay, great question. So one of the values for Scrum is focus. And I've seen organizations where you have one Scrum team with multiple products. That leads to, you hear things like, oh, this person works 20% there, 40% there, and you're actually making the entire process very complex. What I will do, which I've done before in a client, on the client side, is split out the team. I had a team of 10 developers, one PO, one Scrum Master, working on three products. And what we had to do in that instance was split out. So we had a team of 3 to 4 developers on one product. And then they can focus on that. So the second part of your question, they wouldn't have to attend duplicate meetings. However, you have maybe in this case, maybe the Scrum Master has got to schedule and attend both Scrum events. And that's for a while, because ultimately the Scrum Master wants to build the self-managing abilities of the teams and then wouldn't require to attend every single event anymore over time. And they can flex their time that way. Okay? I hope that helps.
Great. Thank you. All right. Wow. This question is something. So what do you do in your company when you have more than 11 product owners for 8 teams?
More than 11 product owners for 8 dev teams. Are those Scrum teams? I think what I would have, I mean, I need to ask more questions, which is,
right.
Is that a Scrum team? Then are they working on one product? Are there 8 products? There's so many.
Yeah, if you can clarify how many products, and if by dev team you're referring to Scrum team, that would be really helpful. Right. So we will get back to that one. How can you measure how a team is performing during sprints?
Okay. So the one way to measure how a team is performing is how well are they meeting their sprint goals. If I had to pick one measure, that's what I would measure. So the Scrum team has got a sprint goal every single sprint. How well are they performing? Are they meeting their sprint goals? Then you can add on to that. How happy are the customers? Are they happy? The people using the product, are they happy with the increment they're receiving sprint in, sprint out? Rajesh, I hope that helped. Yeah.
Thank you. All right. So we got some clarification on that other question. I'm just going to reiterate the question quickly. So what do you do in a company where you have more than 11 product owners for 8 dev teams? The clarification was, yes, there's one product, the same code base, one code base, and 8 Scrum development teams from mobile, web, back-end developers, and others.
Okay. So I think you are halfway there. You've got one product, the same code base, 8 Scrum teams, right? What you really need is one product owner. The product owner accountability does not belong to a committee. It's one person. Now, that might be a lot of teams for one product owner to be effective. So in your organization, there might be other people that helps the product owner, but there should be one product owner. And that just simplifies how decisions are made, all right? So the product owner is accountable for value, but they can delegate some of the things they have to do, like backlog refinements, preparing the items in the backlog. They could delegate that to people on the Scrum teams, but you do not need 11 product owners for that particular product.
Awesome. Thank you. I hope that helps. All right. So Scrum team members are being used for unplanned work outside of our Scrum team, which ultimately jeopardizes our sprint goal. How do we deal with this when these people have unique skill sets?
Right. This is a very common, very common. I've worked a lot in the banks and we do see this a lot, where you've got people that have been in the bank for so many years and they are required elsewhere. In my opinion, that is an impediment. And on a long term, what you want to really do is maybe those people should train other people, get those skills spread out, get them to pair in with other people. Okay? It might be a case of even talking to management to recruit more people if that starts affecting the delivery of the sprint goals, right? That's what we want to do. You, and again, there's a lot of work for you as a Scrum Master, if that's who you are, to educate the stakeholders, the management, right? The impact of that lack of focus. Make that transparent to your stakeholders, and then you take it from there. But there's so many ways to deal with that. Usually, if it is not because they've got unique skill sets and they're needed elsewhere, I would let that person go focus on that full time. I would rather have a Scrum team that is focused on the work of the sprint full time. All right? Great. And I hope that helps you.
Thank you. That's really good advice there. How can a Scrum Master who is new to the role prepare for the Scrum events? What are some tips to a new Scrum Master for working through the Scrum events?
Okay. Usually when I join a new organization, say as a Scrum Master, I want to observe. Okay. Sometimes as a Scrum Master, what you want to do is to observe to see how things are going. All right, so let's think about how. So when you observe, you get ideas on what can be done better. So let's say, for instance, you go into a daily scrum. The daily scrum is for the developers, right, to plan for the next 24 hours and inspect their progress towards a sprint goal. So if you go into a daily scrum and you feel that the purpose of that daily scrum is not being it's not being understood or they do something different, then you want to probably either intervene, either suggest that you want to maybe help facilitate, or maybe raise that in the retro, in the sprint retrospectives. You go into the sprint planning. How do you prepare for the sprint planning? Let's take that for example. All right. Before the sprint planning, there is a lot of work for the Scrum team to do. Maybe refinement if it's required. If there's a lot of ambiguities, unknowns in the PBIs, maybe there's some refinement to be done. The product owner needs a lot of help. Are they ready? Do they have a sprint goal? Just understand how is it being run before you joined and see maybe there's some tips you can help them. They might need help with examples of what sprint goals should look like. Those could be things that you do. All right. Also, let's sprint retrospective. Usually, you want to get some tools, practices. I love the liberating structures, right? Those could help you facilitate a healthy sprint retrospectives, right? And for the sprint review, one of the issues I've found in many organizations is most organizations run the sprint review as a demo. So it might be a case of maybe you've been in one sprint review and it's not what it should be. Send out some information around sprint review. Find a short 5-minute video, maybe create one and send around that. This is what the sprint review should be. What do you guys think? And then maybe offer to facilitate, try something different. Maybe get some feedback from your stakeholders. What's on a scale of 1 to 5, how much value do you attribute to the sprint review? So I wouldn't go with my own agenda. Spend time to listen and figure out what are some low-hanging fruits to show value to the Scrum team and their stakeholders very early on. I hope that helps. I went through the four formal events.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. So there was a follow-up question that came in from Leo, who asked the question earlier about the QA and the story points. So follow-up question would be, how do you manage to make the developers finish their work and QA can test before the sprint ends and keep devs and QAs with work to do during the entire sprint?
Great question, Leonardo. And I'm going to try and I'll spend some time to talk about this because this is very important, right? The goal is not to keep devs and QAs busy with work during the entire sprint. We start from what is the sprint goal? Yeah? What is the sprint goal for that particular sprint? And the goal, the aim of the developers is to try as much as possible to deliver that goal in that time box. And that requires a lot of collaboration between the devs and the QA. I'm guessing this is a software context. So, and I'll give some examples. How do you manage to make the dev finish their work and QA's tests? So the job of a QA or a tester does not begin when the devs are finished. I used to be a software developer in test, QA type role many, many years ago, right? And a QA and a test person can start writing their tests, manual, automated, even before the developers finish. Hand over those tests to the developers so they can run those tests before the work is done. Usually, when the devs are done with their own bit of the work, most of the testing should be done. And that involves a lot of collaboration. I've had organizations where the devs and the QA spend time every day working, collaborating, getting ideas on test scenarios that they want to run, okay, for that particular PBI. And another way devs and QAs can work together is this. A dev has finished a PBI. They do not pick up a new PBI. They talk to the testers. How can I help you to get those stuff, the PBIs you've got on your backlog done? That is, when you have a healthy collaboration, then we stop thinking about what the dev has got to do, what the QAs have got to do. That's irrelevant. What have we got to do? Everyone is working together, tightly coupled, to ensure that we can get the sprint goal delivered. And that, for me, is a healthy team. That is what you want to see in the Scrum team. I hope that helps, Leonardo.
That's great. Thank you. All right. Hope that helps. So this is more of a comment, but I want to bring it up because others may resonate with it and you may be able to provide some advice, Sam. So this is so not Scrum, but our organization prefers to extend a sprint if items are nearly done rather than putting those items in the backlog. They say it's more efficient than finishing a sprint and putting items in a new sprint. This is so frustrating.
Right. Okay.
Any advice you want to add there?
So you said that is not Scrum, right? Extending a sprint is not recommended because it's, let me give you why it's complex, right? You've got stakeholders, maybe very senior executives, very, very busy. It's very difficult to get time in their calendar. Now, they know every Tuesday, I'm going to attend Sprint X's sprint review. The moment you extend your sprint and make that a habit, then people are not sure when your sprint review is going to be, and they might not be able to attend. So there is a lot of good in having that cadence every Tuesday, every Monday, every Friday. People know that it's internalized, that they've got to attend, and they look forward to that. Okay. However, there's a pattern I think we should talk about here. A lot of teams focus on stacking items into the sprints. And I think if we really embrace the use of sprint goals and self-managing abilities of developers, you wouldn't find yourself in that situation. What we should do is help Scrum teams create very good sprint goals, and the developers believe that they can deliver that. There is a lot of good when developers are involved in creating the sprint goal, and they commit to the sprint goal, not the items in the sprint backlog. So developers are very smart people. They have a goal to deliver. They would figure out, if you use your daily Scrum properly, they will figure out how to get that sprint goal delivered. They might have to remove some items, find a cheaper way, an easier way to get the goal delivered. And that flexibility is required within a self-managing Scrum team. Of course, talking to the product owner, all right? If we adopt Scrum in that manner, we wouldn't find ourselves where we are trying to get all the items done. The goal is not to get the items done, but to get the sprint goal delivered. All right? I hope that helps you.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. So, next question here. So, what's the difference between a product manager and a product owner? I am assigned as one. I think Waldo means here, assigned as a product manager. But to me, most of the activities done are, well, the activities I do as a product owner.
Okay. We get this question a lot, Waldo. We get this question a lot. So the product owner in the Scrum framework is an accountability for maximizing the value of the products. That involves strategy, your vision, your goals, working with stakeholders, understanding the users, getting feedback from users. That is a product owner as defined by the Scrum framework. However, you see product manager as a job title in some organizations, all right? So I know many people with a job title of a product owner, but they hold the Scrum product owner accountabilities. That's the way I see it, all right? So one is an accountability in the Scrum framework, product owner, all right? And the other is a job title, a designation in an organization. That's the way I say it. All right. So you are assigned as one, but most of the activities done are the activities you do as a PO, essentially. Right. So you could be a product manager by title, but you fulfill the accountabilities of a product owner within the Scrum context. I hope that answers that question, Waldo.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. Great question there. So any advice on reporting goals, achievements, priorities, velocity with stakeholders and sponsors who are totally unfamiliar with Scrum?
Okay. I personally would not report velocity, that one, first of all. Velocity is a metric that if your team practices story points and you find it useful, it's good for you guys. Keep that internal within the team, because those numbers make no sense outside of the Scrum team. All right? Goals. Yes, reporting on your product goals, reporting on your sprint goal and how they relate with your product goal is very good. Achievements, absolutely. Reporting on the sprint goals and how they were achieved. So you've got, say, 3 months, right? And you run a 2-week sprint. So if you're reporting that the product goal is that, you know, implementing a new dashboard for HR, right? Whatever that is, yeah? And then you can report that you've delivered 4 sprint goals towards that overall product goal. You are giving your stakeholders confidence, all right, that you are well on track to delivering the product goal. All right. Priorities as well. Of course, you've got different stakeholders that probably are interested in different things. So using a tool such as Now, Next, Later might help you to show where those objectives are in the grand scheme of things. All right. So yes, definitely. I think those, for me, I would focus on reporting metrics that are closer to value. Maybe also report on your customer satisfaction. How happy are the customers? You know, so if, for instance, you are delivering, I had a project once, we're delivering a tool to reduce the amount of FTE hours, full-time employee hours spent on running some reports, all right? And as those reports were delivered, we were reducing the amount of hours, FTE hours used on those reporting. We reported that, and people liked that. That's confidence on what the Scrum team was doing. But focus on what is valuable, and metrics around that would help, all right? I hope that helped, Charles.
Great, thank you. All right, so there's a question here from Rajesh asking, how do we use velocity cycle time and burndown charts? And maybe you can talk a little bit, Sam, about some other metrics that you would recommend for Scrum teams as well.
Yes, okay, yes. So again, I've talked about velocity, which I don't believe that it should go out of the Scrum team. But if you find it useful within the Scrum team to look at your velocity, that might help you figure out, maybe you've got silos in your teams. Maybe you've got QA separate, dev separate. So a lot of your work, end of the sprints, are in QA, but never got done. That means your velocity is low. And that can trigger a conversation within the Scrum team about what can we do better. Maybe devs can do some testing. Maybe testers can test earlier. Maybe we can automate some testing. So it's good for that within the Scrum team, but not outside of the Scrum team. Cycle time is great. The way I define cycle time is how long it takes from when an item is in progress to when it gets completed. That's one of the flow metrics. It's very good for helping you see where the bottlenecks might be in your process. So for instance, I worked on a particular team many years ago, and we agreed that we wanted our cycle time to be 2 days, which is when an item goes into dev, by the end of 2 days, we want it deployed in production. That was our goal for that particular team. And what we agreed was, if at any point in time, any given item takes longer than 2 days, on the third day, somebody else from the team will pair with that developer to get that item done that day. And we had an instance once where the entire team mobbed on a particular ticket because it was quite complex and we didn't expect that. And that's great for motivating teams as well, okay? Burn down charts, generally, I use them very loosely just to show that, oh, for this particular product goal, at the moment, we've got, 40 items were created, and we've completed 30 of them. So roughly, we are 75% complete towards that goal. And that's it, really. I wouldn't do more on that. A very good reference point for more metrics are the evidence-based management metrics. They're good. I mean, you've got things around value, customer satisfaction. You've got unrealized value like gaps in satisfaction, market share. You've got your ability to innovate, all right? Things like the amount of tech debt in your products that could help you in terms of how quickly can you take advantage of innovations in the marketplace. And the last one is time to market. There are four groups. EBM metrics, check on the scrum.org website. There's an EBM guide, and that will give you some more ideas around metrics. One thing I must say is I prefer to keep the number of metrics around five, no more than five per time. I've seen teams that have got 14 metrics being measured. It becomes almost a full-time job to keep track of that. Focus on few at a time and as it helps your team and improve on those. Hope that helps.
Awesome. Thank you. And I did drop a link to some information about evidence-based management.
Check
out as well. All right. So this question, so we work in a scaled setup with three teams. Every team has their internal scrum meetings, and we have overall scrum meeting for review, planning, and retro. In addition, we also have community of practice meetings for front end, back end, and DevOps. Teams are struggling with all of these meetings, focus switching, and having less time for actual work. Would it make sense to extend the sprint from 2 weeks to 3 weeks as a regular cadence?
Right. Okay. Thanks for asking that question, Masa. I wouldn't extend the sprint from 2 weeks to 3 weeks as just because of you've got too many meetings. Okay, I wouldn't do that. You want to really focus on what makes sense for your products. Okay, in terms of time, are you able to build, test, configure, deploy in 2 weeks? Then yes, do that. However, one thing you can do is ask people, what do you think about these meetings? Do you find it useful? And for the meetings that you don't find useful, maybe consider scrapping them. All right? Community of practice meetings should not be mandatory. The best examples I've seen, they're very voluntary meetings, usually maybe around lunchtime, evening, with drinks. People should attend the community of practice meetings because they are interesting, all right? So that is not something that I think should bother people. It should be what people want. If it is too frequent, make it once a quarter, make it once a month. Don't force that on people, okay? And just to be clear, that is not part of Scrum. Just some organizations find that very useful. And I think it's a great thing as well to do. So three teams, internal Scrum, that's great. What you might want to look at is the overall Scrum meeting. Yeah? And are you working on one product or multiple products? That would be keen to look at. Because if all these teams work on a singular product, maybe you can do one sprint review meeting. Maybe. All right? And look at the overall meetings that you have for all three teams. Does everyone have to attend? So these are a lot of questions you want to ask yourselves and see what you can cut off from that. If people, the team, do not find a meeting valuable, then you should ask yourself, is that meeting serving the needs of the team? If not, maybe consider removing it. Okay? But I think for me, the Scrum events are the minimal set of events you need to be effective. Four formal events, they are more than enough for almost everything you need to do. All right?
That's great advice there. Thank you. All right. So is it okay to have non-development items within the sprint? For example, the creation of roadmaps or QA smoke tests, or should sprint items just be development work that releases value?
Okay. So yes, you can have non-development items within the sprint. Absolutely. So creation, updating your roadmap is not something you do once. It's something the product owner should be doing regularly, right? And in fact, there are tools in Jira and the likes that could help you update your roadmap as you update your items, okay? So that's not something that should be a task in your backlog, something that you do every time, okay? You update your roadmap as you keep delivering. QA smoke tests as well should be a PBI in your backlog. Right, what you don't want to do is create a batch item for all smoke tests. Update your smoke test as you go along. So for every PBI, maybe think about what regression tests you have to write, what smoke tests you've got to write. As much as possible, try to have your testing task as part of your dev PBI. One task. That way, it encourages collaboration. I cannot speak about this enough. Collaboration between dev and test, we need to work together a lot more closer. All right. So when I start seeing QA items as PBIs, I'm seeing silos in the teams. And that means devs are not interested. So we want to really ensure we tie those tests within the original PBI when that feature was created. I hope that answers the question.
Awesome. Thank you. Hope that was helpful. All right. So this question from Olivier, how do you involve a developer who is not participating a lot in the different meetings and always says he is fine and understood the things well?
That's a very common question I get as well, but it's not participating. There's always a reason where that people don't participate. Either they're new, they're shy, culture. There's so many reasons why people don't participate. What I will do if I was in that, I was a Scrum Master for that team, I would spend more time to understand that developer. What's on their mind? You know, why don't they participate? In what way are they not participating? They don't talk? Maybe they like to type. So if you are working virtually, is your camera on? Okay, there's always something maybe they're not happy about. Maybe they don't feel safe. And sometimes it just takes time for people to open up at work, okay? So, but getting to know that developer, I think, is helpful. That developer, also think about this. Their attitude to work, is it affecting the delivery of the sprint goal? What do the other developers think? Are they complaining about him? All right? It might just be a bit or give me a bit of time, understanding. I had an example. I had a developer that would never turn his video on. Good developer would always do what he's told to do, right? And I got to find out that he was actually the most experienced on the team. So I spoke to him and I asked him to help some people that they were struggling. And I started helping him to, because before I joined, what they had was a PO that almost micromanage the team with task assignments, right? But as the entire team understood Scrum better, the guy understood that actually the daily Scrum was for them as developers to plan and collaborate. It wasn't meant to be a status update meeting. As we made those changes, of a sudden, I think within 3 or 4 weeks, I saw this guy put on his camera, and for the first time in that company, they saw his face. No one had ever seen him before. Okay, so there are always reasons why people behave that way. Get to know that person, figure out what is going on, and then it's very difficult to tell you what to do in that instance, but I think there is something that you need to figure out there. Spend time to get to know that developer and see what's going on there.
Great, thank you. All right, so there's a question here that I'm going to kind of flip around, but I'll read it as it's written. So if Nexus is an exoskeleton of Scrum, why is it not usually adopted during scaling? Instead, other scaling methodologies are used that are more predictive than adaptive methodologies of project management. So I think I want to kind of flip that question. And if you could maybe share some of the benefits of why Nexus is a great approach for scaling, that would be
so
great.
Okay, great. Thank you, Lindsay. So I think Nexus, I'm not an expert on Nexus, to be honest, but I know that Nexus can be used for between 3 to 9 teams. When you have 3 Scrum teams working, 3 to 9 teams working on the same product, you know? So I think in terms of that, I don't know why it's not being used. I cannot speak for that, but I know it's a great framework. It's built on the same principles as Scrum. We do know that the Scrum framework works and can help deliver value. What I love about the Scrum, about Nexus, is that you've got 3 to 9 teams working on the same product. You've got one product owner, right, helping to ensure that all the teams are working, you know, in sync, and they're all working on items that should help deliver value. Also, you've got the Nexus event built on top of that, built using the same principle as the Scrum framework. So if I was to scale beyond one Scrum team, 3 Scrum teams, 9 Scrum teams, I would definitely pick up the Nexus framework. But I'm not an expert. I've not really done a lot of work with Nexus. So yeah, I cannot say more than that on that.
Yeah, and I will drop a link shortly into the chat for the Nexus guide as well. There's actually a whole page on the scrum.org website dedicated to Nexus, and I will share that shortly. All right. So Todd has a question here. I have had struggles with developers not willing to collaborate with tests. They want to work on their item alone and then pass it along once they feel that it is done. Do you have recommendations for this challenge?
Right. Okay. Great. And most of the Scrum teams that I have supported, they start from here. Okay, having a conversation about the definition of done might be helpful. What does done mean in that organization? Usually, developers say, I am done. Are you really done without that item being tested? All right. So having an honest conversation about, you know, the Scrum artifact and the commitments, for us to have an increment, the PBI must have met definition of done. So start by having that conversation and figure out, why are they not willing to collaborate with tests? Is it because they don't find it valuable? What is the issue? Let's talk about it, right? And what I tell developers is this, right? Imagine you have 10 items. Okay. Sorry, excuse me. Imagine you have 2 teams, yeah? One team has got 10 items in their backlog. And they have got, by the end of the sprint, they've got all 10 items in progress. Maybe in QA, you know, but not done. Another team has got 3 items all done, dev, tested, deployed. Which one is better? People always go for the second one, right? Where 3 items were done. Now, what we want to do is, how do we get dev and test to collaborate to get items done? Okay, that's what I would do. I hope that helps, Todd.
Awesome, thank you. Great advice there. Right, we have time for maybe one more question here, and then we're going to wrap up. So can Scrum work in organizations broken into teams of specialists? For example, business analysis teams, quality assurance teams, teams of developers, etc. Especially an organization whose resource profile cannot support cross-functional teams.
My short answer is no, right? The Scrum team is designed to be self-managing and cross-functional. Which means that every single skill that you require to deliver a done increment is present in the Scrum team. So if we have a Scrum team that isn't cross-functional, how can you get a done increment, right? So for me, without a cross-functional team, you cannot self-manage. Think about this, right? We talk about self-management is no one outside of the Scrum team should tell the team how to get their work done. So if the Scrum team is not cross-functional, we cannot get items done. All right? So for me, if a Scrum team is not cross-functional, you're going to struggle. That's one of the first impediments you want to help resolve as a Scrum master. Start from where you are, okay? And make visible the challenge you're having. So you need to get security testing done every single sprint. The items has been done, but you cannot get security testing done. That means we're not done. That means we cannot release it. That's it. It's very, very easy for everyone to realize that we haven't done what is required, and we don't have a product to get feedback on. We cannot inspect and adapt. So for me, I think Scrum falls apart when you don't have cross-functional teams within a Scrum team.
Awesome advice there. Yep, very true. All right. So I think we're about at our end here. And thank you so much, Sam. Is there any like parting advice you want to leave with our audience before we close up?
No, not today. I think we've answered quite a lot of questions.
Yes.
Yes, it was. I didn't expect that much. But you know, but one thing I would say, guys, is Scrum does work, right? And I think the addition of goals into the Scrum guide for me was a great thing to happen. Because that is really where Scrum really shines. Using your product goal, the sprint goal, and allow the team to self-manage, to be flexible, figure out what works. When it works, you do more of it. If it doesn't work, then we dump it. That's the essence of it. Okay, so let's leverage those goals and don't try to craft perfect goals. Start from where you are and reflect what is working, what isn't working, and keep trying. Don't give up on it. All right. Thank you very much, everyone. And thank you, Lindsay, for having me.
Awesome. Thank you so much. All right. So I tried to share my closing screen. I think I'm having some issues there, so I'm not going to share, but I will just wrap up here. So Sam, how can people best connect with you?
So I'm on LinkedIn at Sam Adesuga. On LinkedIn, Sam Adesuga, and that's the best place to find me. And my email, samuel@valuehot.co. All right.
Awesome. Perfect. All right. And everybody, as you probably are aware, we do run these Ask a PST sessions monthly. So please check out the calendar at scrum.org/webcasts, and then you'll be able to find the listing of all of our Ask PST sessions as well as our Scrum Pulse sessions. In addition, we always want you to stay connected with us on social media and also take advantage of the free resources on our website. So please continue to do that. And if you ever need us, you know where we are. So thank you, everybody, and have a great rest of your day or evening, and scrum on. Thanks again, Sam.
Thank you very much, Lindsay. Bye, everyone.